said, that we really appreciate every person that worked so hard yesterday to put on what we call the Fall Festival. But you know, we do it as an outreach to our community, just trying to reach out to people, giving them an option and a place to come. And there were people here yesterday, and I made this comment, they enjoyed themselves in spite of themselves.
Yes.
Well, what do you mean by that? There were people here yesterday that don't like church. There were people here yesterday that don't like God's people. That means they don't like you. But the way you treated them, they left here without excuse. And I really appreciate all the hard work and the work of the people. You know, and as a pastor, I'll tell you, it's a privilege to me to be able to work with you. Okay? I appreciate your kindness to me and my family. But I consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to work with you. So thank you very much. Appreciate all the singing this morning. A lot of good singing this morning in the house of the Lord. If you got your Bible this morning, we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter number 5. We're going to read verse number 1 through verse number 14. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached Be Still. Well, today I'm going to preach Doing Your Part. Something I thought about this, and people say, well, make up your mind. Well, sometimes you got to do both. You got to know which one. You know, sometimes I've had people get upset with me about something I preach or something I taught, and I have to remind them. Here's the thing. Don't get upset with the preacher from reading from the Word of God.
Right.
It's the Holy Spirit that pricks your heart. And the Holy Spirit needs to be present for this to be the house of God doing the things that God wants us to do. So you can preach Be Still. Here's the point. You got to know when to be still. How do you know? Not by listening to me, but by listening to God. There's also something you need to know when to do. You need to know when to do your part. You don't get that by listening to me. You get it by listening to God. And I'll say this, because this may be the last time you ever hear me preach. The preacher, I don't care who your pastor is, or who the speaker is, or who you're listening to, can never take the place of the Holy Spirit in your life. Nobody. I've seen preachers that thought they could. You know, they thought that it had to be approved through them for you to do something God's called you to do. As pastor, that is not my job. The Holy Spirit has to speak to you, and my job is to help you any way that I can with what God's given me and the wisdom that I have, be able to follow the word that God has put upon your heart, not to take the place of the Holy Spirit. So it's very important, church. You need to learn how to listen to the Spirit of God. Now, we want to read this morning. This is talking about the cure of Naaman's leprosy. But the title of the message is Doing Your Part, because when we read the Word of God, it's important for us to look at it from the application of historical what happened. Well, as we read this story, I want you to understand that this story happened just like the Word of God says. Then we look at it doctrinally. What does it teach us? And there's more in these 14 verses than I can get out. So let's pray that God would deliver what He wants. But then we have to look at it and understand the practical or spiritual application of how we apply it to our lives. That's why the title is Doing Your Part. Let's read the scripture this morning. It says, Now Naaman was a great man with his master and honorable or respected, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. And there's a comma. It says, but he was a leper. It says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She was a slave girl. It says, and she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophets that is in Samaria. He would recover or heal him of his leprosy. Then one went in and told the Lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him, or heal him, of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Now you see the dilemma that the king of Israel has as he sees the presence coming, and he thinks that all the king of Assyria wants to do is to come basically and make war. And as he's there and he's just distressed, the scripture says in the 8th verse that Elisha heard. And it says that it was so that when Elijah the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and he sent to the king saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, but thou shalt be clean or healed. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and will call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? And then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now I want us to look just a little bit at the historical happening and what happened here. The scripture says that Naaman was a great man. But Naaman was a great man that had a great problem. Now it said he was honorable, he was respected, he was a man of valor. And just something I want you to see from this scripture in the first verse, he had been a winner in battle because God had allowed it. But he was respected because of that. He was known because of that. And of all the things he had accomplished, there's a comma, and it said, but he was a leper. A leper was a person who, if they had this disease, no matter how honorable they were, it's if you would pass down the street and people would see you, mothers would cover the eyes of their children. They would turn and look the other way because it's the kind of disease that would cause the body to deteriorate in such a way that when you would look at the face, you could look into the nasal cavities. You could look at a hand as it would deteriorate and the skin would rot away and the bone would even go with it. A person who had leprosy would have to walk down the street and they would have to cry, unclean, unclean, so that people that passed by would know that they were dirty and not get near them. You see, Naaman, a great man, an honorable man, he needed healing because this problem would eventually have destroyed all of his greatness. You know, he began to seek help, and there was a young lady. She was, oftentimes we see this in the Word of God, used by God, but she was a slave. She remembered that there was a prophet, in Israel, and she said, I would God that my Lord were in Israel. Well, there's a prophet there that could cure him. Of course, the king of Assyria heard it, and the expectations were high, and they sent the gifts down to the king of Israel, and of course, it caused him to be afraid. They're just seeking occasion against us so that they might come and war against us. But the prophet heard the words, and he said, send him. God can handle this. You know, when he gets down to where Elisha is at, here's the problem that he has. Naaman wants Elisha to come out and hold his hand over him. And maybe say some great words, and the place be healed. But he doesn't do that. He says, you go down over here to the river, the dirty river, the river of Jordan. And when you get over there, you go and wash your flesh 7 times, and it'll be clean. You know, what he wanted to do is go down to one of the clean rivers and maybe just dip and say some words and it'd be done. And he's mad, he's angry, it's not happening the way that he wants it to happen. And then a servant, isn't it amazing how sometimes God sends somebody into our lives? I was thinking, Brother Rick, as you had the ladies up first and you were talking about how they support us, and how many times my wife has had to be my counselor. And she'd say something to me, and I'd be griping about something, and she'd say, oh, you just need to calm down. You need to remember what God has done for you in the past. You need to have the kind of faith that you preach about. Here's the servant. And I want you to realize something in this scripture. Every time that you see a servant in this scripture, it is a type and a representation of the Spirit of God. You know, one problem that Naaman had is he was such a man that he was blessed, he was so honorable, he wanted something great. Don't get too big for your britches. If you've been blessed, if you're intelligent, if you've got talent, you better stay humble because God knows how to humble you. Amen. You know what God could have done? Could have been real quick. I don't ever want this to happen in my life to where God says, well, if you don't want to do it my way, you just won't have it at all. But the servant who represents the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, if it asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? And he had to speak to him, calm him down, bring him back down to just, if you want something from God and you've asked for it, why don't you just try doing it God's way? So he goes down and he washes. And the scripture says that his skin becomes like a baby's skin. I remember when our little girl was born, Jessica. Kendra brought her home and I would hold her, and she had them little fat balls on her arms and her hands. And I got in trouble because I got to chewing on her hand. My wife told me that I turned our baby into a biter. Y'all laugh because y'all know what I'm talking about. Because she was so soft. And I would play with her. And then Kendra worked in the daycare and she bit 21 kids. 22. I got the number. Close. Oh, okay. But I thought about that and I think about the baby's skin. And now here's what I want you to understand. You're talking about a man whose body was rotting away, living rot. And because he obeyed God, his skin became like a baby. You see, when I look at this and I want us to understand something, there's sometimes we think we're great, we want to do something great. And what God wants us to do is maybe something that'll humble us from our own greatness. You know, sometimes you got to learn to be still, but sometimes you got to know when to move. I saw a sign, and I like to read church signs. And I saw a confirming sign that says, "Dreams don't work unless you do." I gave y'all a couple of quotes, and I think it was in Bible study, and I used one from a movie, and I used one from Kung Fu Panda. I'm not going to repeat it this morning on time, but I want to give you one from Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty. He said, "One investment that is sure to never pay off is one you do not make." I was watching something last night, and one came across the screen. It's from Theodore Roosevelt. And you remember the time during World War II and the quotes that you find from Winston Churchill and the presidents that we had and how important it was. And this one said, "Courage is not having the strength to go on, but going on when you have no strength." Now, I thought about that, and that sunk into my heart, my mind, and my being. There's an old movie that I like to watch sometimes. You have to find it, look for it. I mean, it came out, it was before DVDs. I had one of those, and now it won't play. Before VCRs, called Where the Red Fern Grows. It's a classic. If you've never seen it, it's worth finding. There's a little boy in the movie, and he's not like the kids that we have today. You know, he runs around in overalls and no shirt and no shoes. And he lives out in the Ozark Mountains, and all he wants more than anything else is a coon dog. And they believe in God, and they're not afraid to talk about it in this type of movie. It's got some age on it. And he talks to his grandpa and he says, "Grandpa, I've been praying and I've been praying that God would give me a coon dog. And God's just not answering my prayer." And Grandpa, who's really not as close to God as the little boy or the parents, but he knows God, he makes this comment to him. He said, "Son, maybe the reason that God is not answering your prayer is because you are not doing your fair share." You know, there's times for us to be still, but there are also times that we need to understand that maybe we need to be doing our fair share. Amen. You know, God's not going to bless this place if you don't work and do your part. It does you no good to be a Sunday school teacher if you don't prepare and come. It does you no good to be a deacon if you don't call your families and see where they're at. It does you no good to have a job in the church if you're not going to do the job. Amen. It wouldn't do me any good as a pastor if I didn't pray and seek God. And you know, I want to tell y'all something. Every now and then I have a dream. I had a dream the other night. And I dreamed that I came to church and I looked down and I had on two different colors camouflage. Now, I like camo. And I can preach in camo. I preached in muddy blue jeans and work boots. But I looked down and it didn't match. And I looked and here come people in the church that I haven't been inviting. And I begin to be troubled and I begin to look for my notes to preach and I couldn't find them. And you know, when I go over to the lake sometimes and I'm over there and we leave real early to come, I take my Bible in my bag and I set it in front of the door so that I would have to trip over it to get out. Why? Let me tell you what terror is. It's to walk up behind the pulpit and not be prepared. And I thought, what if I drove all the way over here and the message that God gave me was over there in Alabama? And as I stand here before you today, you want something from God, sometimes you've got to do your part. See, in order to do our part, our job, we must be willing, we must be obedient, and we must learn to follow direction. The older you get, that gets harder and harder. Especially when you get older, sometimes you find yourself receiving instruction from somebody who's younger, or maybe what you honestly consider lesser. It's like Naaman, if it had not been for a slave servant girl, he might have died with leprosy. If it had not been for a servant who spoke to him and said, "Sir, respectfully, had they not asked you to do something great, you would have done it. But they just asked you to go wash." And you got to remain teachable and follow the direction of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you. That's what the servant represents. See, in order for God to do His job, we've got to do our job. I can remember when I was just a very young preacher. I'm not a young preacher anymore. Y'all know I don't get invited to preach youth services anymore. I used to do that a lot. I was preaching at a youth service, and I came into the church, and I was just a young preacher, and I preached for 5-10 minutes. And I sat down, and I sat right over here on this side. Time for the pastor to come up to give invitation. And I want to tell you all, I felt awful. I said, "God, I know I made a mess. I didn't preach but 5 minutes. Preacher got up, and he gave the invitation, and I was sitting there, and two people came down, a smaller church than this, and accepted Christ. 7 people came down and rededicated their life to God. And I'm sitting there as a young man, I'm arguing with God before the song is even sung, and the Holy Spirit, that same servant, spoke to me, and he said, "You do your part, and I'll do my part." You know, sometimes where we get in trouble is we think we're going to do our part and God's part. You cannot do God's part. He has to do His part. But sometimes He cannot do His part if you do not do your part. And I want to give you just a few things. Folks, this is for me too. I need this morning. How do we take this and apply it to ourselves? Personal application, number one. Number one, do not lose heart. You know, sometimes when you're working, sometimes what I pray for, and I saw a sign as I was going down the road, another one of those church signs that God speak to me, and it prayed, and the sign said this: do not pray that God will give you a lighter load. Pray that God will give you a stronger back. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you. Where I was at mentally, I didn't want that sign. But can I tell you the truth? I started praying that way. I said, "God, give me the strength to be able to do the things that I do need to do. Give me the wisdom to make the right decisions. Give me the heart." What does it mean to pray that God would give you the heart? It's something on the inside that builds the strength and the courage in you to be able to see the direction and the path of God and to be able to follow it. You see, God's job is to give us the heart, the courage, the strength, and the determination to succeed. Webster's dictionary says the heart is one's most innermost character, feelings, or inclinations. I heard Adrian Rogers preach, and I mean, Adrian Rogers is with the Lord today, but he's one of my favorite preachers. And I heard him praying, and he was talking as he preached, and he said, "Unctionize me, O God," which means give me the heart to succeed your way, O God. See, it is an unction or a zeal that motivates us toward an expected end. See, sometimes it may be good to pray, "God, give me the motivation to succeed." Can I tell you here today, if you're struggling in your home, if you're struggling in your job, if you're struggling in a relationship, there's nothing wrong with saying, "God, give me the understanding that I need, that I can work with these people. God, give me the understanding that I need, that I can show my spouse the kind of love that they need, that our relationship would be what you want it to be." You know, sometimes what we are is we're like Naaman. We want it, but we want it our way. I remember one time I have some friends. And this friend of mine, he's a little different. I mean, I love the woods, but this guy, he makes me look like I don't know nothing. Now, I remember one time somebody asked his wife, she says, "How do you live with a man that keeps up with the time that he spends in the woods the way that he does, and he fishes and he hunts and he's here and he's there all the time?" She said, "You know, it's like this. How do you live with him?" I've had people say that come in my house. They say, "This looks like Wild Kingdom. I wouldn't let my husband put these deer on the wall." I'm glad my wife loves me enough. The lady said this, and it was wisdom. She said, "I found that having the right marriage is not finding the right person. It's being the right person." You know, I could go on giving you stories, but sometimes what we want is we want our way, but sometimes maybe we need to understand how to pray, knowing how to pray, teachable at any age that we'd know how to be what God wants us to be. Number one, don't lose heart. Number two, take courage. Take courage. Remember that courage is maybe not having the strength to go on, but sometimes going on when you have no strength. Joshua, he said, Joshua 1:9, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And I preach a long time, and people just say, "Amen." I can't help it. I've got so much in my heart and my mind. I want you to understand something this morning. God cares about you. And Satan wants you to believe that when you're up against a wall, or you're in a difficult time, or you're in a time that you're hearing something like this, and you're facing challenges that may be overwhelming to you, what God wants you to understand is he already knew you'd face it before you ever got to it. And all he wants you to do is understand that you're not going through it by yourself, to walk with him, to trust him, to walk in his path, because he has the ability that if he led you through it, to it, he can lead you through it. He didn't lead the children of Israel out just to let them die by the water down there. He did not lead them to the water of Marah so that they could thirst to death. See, the problem sometimes is we're just like them, wandering through the wilderness when the promised land is right over there, and God just says, "I want you to get in line with me and I'll show you which way to go." See, sometimes it's take the step, sometimes it's trust God to go with you. And then this one, gain strength. What do you mean gain strength? I'm tired. We all get tired. Have you ever felt like you're facing challenges and battles and you just lost the strength? Maybe that's where God wants you. What do you mean? Naaman had to get to the point that his greatness would put down for him to go get in a dirty river of Jordan and dip 7 times. If you think you've got strength or you think you've got ability, then God is not in a position that he can take over. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, he's speaking of God. He said, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." There have been times I've had to learn to understand that when I get to the end of myself, I'm still not alone. Maybe that's where God wants me, for me to be able to see that in order for him to do something, I must get out of his way. What do you mean? I want to be strong. I don't want to fail. I don't want to make a bad decision. In fact, I want to be so in control, and don't say amen, Kendra. I want to be so in control that I have the answer to every question as soon as it comes up. Sometimes I don't. Where the real challenge is in my faith is to be able to step out and follow God when I do not know the answer. It's like God just said, follow me. You see, I gain strength by this, taking my strength and surrendering it for his strength. Then the last is be determined. I would tell you, young people, one thing that's very important in your life. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. Daniel also was in captivity. And he was there, and they brought him the portion of the king's meat, and they wanted to make him into the one of the scientists or one of the wise people that were there so that he could be a part of their culture. Wanted to make him like them. But the scripture says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Sometimes what we have to do is purpose in our heart to be determined that we're going to be where God wants us to be. And that's part, I believe, of doing our part. You say, well, I don't know how I can accomplish anything. Told you a little bit about the story where the red fern grows. Those of you that have watched it understand this, but for those of you that don't, I'm going to give you something to go look up. The little boy, after listening to his grandpa, he got to thinking about it, and he thought, well, I've been praying for these two coon dogs, and I just want God to deliver them to my front porch. That's the way we are, right? But the little boy, he decided, I'm going to do my part, and he started working. He took every job that he could take. He'd chop wood, he'd clean out hog pens, he'd rake leaves, he'd do whatever that he had to do, and he kept a jar, and he put every nickel, and he'd work from daylight till dark, and he looked at this little newspaper ad, and he finally counted, worked all summer long till he got the money built up, and he ordered those coon dogs. He ended up getting two little red bones. And he worked and he worked and he worked and he worked until he was tired and he was weary, and he'd lay down at night, and, you know, he'd get up in the morning and, you know, he'd put a biscuit in his bag and he'd go somewhere and he'd work all day. Then he'd come home and he would do his chores at home until he raised the money. He said, well, he did it all. God didn't have nothing to do with it. Unfortunately, that's where people are at today. Do you know that if God didn't give you the strength, you couldn't go to work? If God didn't give you a voice, you couldn't sing. If God didn't give you vision, you could not see. If God didn't give you the air that you breathe, you could not breathe. And he went and he got them. Because he didn't lose heart. Because he took courage. Because he gained strength. And because he was determined. As the song was saying, I am determined to hold out to the end. Now, how do we look at this to conclude and bring it home? You see, as Christians, we all have challenges. We all have problems. We may not be lepers, and you may not want two coon dogs. But there's something going on in every life. Every person needs healing of some type, whether it's emotional, spiritual, or physical. And we all need some kind of help. Unfortunately, sometimes in the midst of our circumstances, for all people, our expectations may be getting in the way of our getting help. Do we want what God wants? Or are we looking for and listening for what God wants? Or are we too busy looking for what we want? You see, sometimes we need to remember the servant who represents the Spirit of God, and we need to listen to the Spirit of God and look and see, are we really willing to do our part? Sometimes I believe this may be why our prayers have not been answered. You got to be willing to do your part. I preached a message here, first time at Celebrate Recovery. I think I preached it one time on Sunday morning, and this is what it's about. And I'm going to say this as Brother Jeff gets ready to come and sing. And I preached on the word, if. There's a lot. If we do our part, God will do His part. Can we say, if we are not willing to do our part, can we really expect God to do His part? But if God told me, if you do your part, I'll do my part. I can't do much, and I know that. He can. And that, doesn't the Word of God teach us all things are possible through Him? How about the song that we sing sometimes? Little is much if God is in it. He's capable, church, of doing great things. As Brother Jeff gets ready to sing, I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. If God has spoke to your heart, we always believe in opening the altars of Hiram First Baptist Church. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, maybe take somebody by the hand. Maybe come down, Brother Allen, or one of these men, or one of these ladies, for you ladies would like to pray with you and help you in some way meet Christ. Maybe you're here and God's dealing with you in something in your life, and it's difficult sometimes what we face. But if you do your part, I believe God will do His part. Go ahead, Brother Jeff.
Y'all help me with this. Everybody knows this song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Come on, sing out. Little. Somebody needs to hear this morning. But He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me. Praise report. It's been my prayer for a long time. 22 years ago, this morning, I was in Paulding County Jail. Going, what in the world am I doing here? This is not me.